Welcome to Frontier Church. I'm so glad you're here. Are you happy that the Lord let you live one more day? Come on, let me hear you. I want to thank all our guests for coming today. I know that today's a great day for you, and we appreciate you taking your time to show up here and spend the worship time with us. Today, I hope to deposit into your life something very important from the Word. Today's message we're going to be talking about is how do I get there? Now, we've been talking about Discover You, and we went through 5 points about discovering your purpose and 5 questions that we needed to ask. The first one was, who am I? Who are we in God's eyes? And number 2, we asked, what am I doing here? Why did God have me on the earth at this season in my life? Why is it at this time? Number 3, why am I the way that I am? Why am I a person who thinks a lot? Why am I a talker? Why am I a person who loves details? Why were you designed that way? And then we talked about last week, where am I going? Where does God have me on this pattern? How do I get to my purpose and destiny? And if you missed last week, please, please, please go back on online and pull up our website and pull it down and watch it. It's life-changing. And today, we want to close the deal with how do I get there? How do I walk in my purpose and in my destiny? How do I arrive at the point where I'm doing what God wants me to do? And in order to answer that, before I do that, I want to give you something. I want to give you something. You know, we've been doing the series for about 5 weeks now. And one of the ways that you're going to grow and learn and develop is through the Word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So what we have done as a church, and some of you may have noticed this, what we have done as a church is we purchased what we call Right Now Media. And Right Now Media is, as you saw, a library of all kinds of the top speakers, leaders, trainers for business, for biblical business, for marriages, for couples, for people that come with children with special needs, Bible studies, anything you can imagine from the world's top Christian leaders is in Right Now Media. And we purchased it so that every one of you in this church can have access to it at home. We want to offer that to you. This week, you may have gotten an email from our church that said, hey, listen, here's how you sign up. Just go ahead and sign up. It's free. We paid for it. This will help you when you're home and you're doing your Bible studies. You can do your Bible studies with some things that can help you learn and grow deeper, women's studies, men's studies. We want to do that because in order for you to reach your full potential, you have to learn more about God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, if you did not get the email or if you just want to be sure that you're on that list, fill out a connection card. Go ahead and fill one out before you leave today and just drop it off with our ushers and we'll make sure you're on that list and get that back out to you this week because I want you to grow. Amen? So how do you get there? That's one way through Right Now Media, but I want you to write this down as our takeaway for today. Here's our takeaway for today. Follow your God-given passions. No apostrophe. Follow your God-given passions. If you really want to know how to get to where God called you to be, it's sitting really close to you. It's not your neighbor. It's not your friends. It's not the news. And it's not the street signs. It's in you.
Amen.
Follow your God-given passions. So before we get into this, I want to go, what is purpose? When we want to discover our purpose, let's go back and revisit what definition of purpose is. Write this down again if you haven't already. Purpose is the original intent in the mind of the Creator that motivated him to create a particular item. In other words, that God had a motivation to make you in this earth at this time. God had a problem he needed you to solve. And so he didn't wait 30 years in the future or 30 years in the past. He made you now, and as we say it here in proper English, R-A-T, now. Say it with me, right now. Right now. He made you here right now for a reason. But the question then becomes, how do I get there? How do I stay in line with God? How do I make sure I don't kind of go astray? How do I make sure I stay with God? How do I use my passions to discover my purpose? Well, I believe that we all have to have some instruction, because if you don't have instruction, you might end up in the wrong place doing the wrong thing. And you might not like what you end up doing. Amen? Amen. Oh, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I share a story with you?
Yes.
Some of you may have heard this before, but that happened to me. You know, I have a passion. One of my passions is to eat. Anybody with me on that one? Anybody? That's a passion. And one time I went over a friend's house, my wife and I, we went to hang out with some friends of ours, and we went down and we sat on a table, and they said, you know, they're good friends, you know how friends say, you know, this ain't, you don't act like you a stranger, just get whatever you want out the kitchen, it's all in the kitchen, just get what you want. You know how people do that to you, right? And so, you know, they were cooking chicken and everything. So I got my plate, everybody went, you know, me try to be all Christian, wait till everybody else go and eat, you know what I'm saying? And then I get up and I got my plate, and I went in the kitchen. I'm like, oh my goodness, they got chicken, oh my, they got greens, oh my goodness. Man, look over here, they got cornbread, oh my goodness. And I look in my favorite thing in the world. Oh my God, they've got mashed potatoes. Woo, that was a gift from heaven. And I'm looking and I'm like, this is, and you know what, you know, and I'm thinking, man, all these people came in the kitchen and nobody touched a mashed potato. I'm going to kill this thing, because, you know, it was looking good too. You know, white mashed potato. And you know that time when you have mashed potatoes and you got that little pat of butter and you stick it right on top and you just let it melt down all in the good stuff. Anybody ever had that happen before? Woo, glory, that was me. I said, I ain't even going to be ashamed. I went and got the biggest spoon in the kitchen, dipped out the biggest thing, wham, on my plate. I walked out there with my chicken, mashed potatoes, my greens, and my cornbread, and I sat down. I said, I'm going to enjoy myself today. Anybody else getting hungry besides me right now? And I sat down, and I had that chicken, and it was good. I had that cornbread, and my mouth was like, whoa. And I had that greens, and it was delicious. And I said, oh, but I'm waiting for my mashed potatoes. I take my spoon, and I dip right down in the butter. I'm going to get all of it. I'm mouth watering, and everything. Mm. And I went and put it in my, took that, And I said, that's the nastiest mashed potatoes I ever had in my life. And I'm looking around, and you know that time when you taste something and it's nasty? And you're looking around the room like, is everybody, anybody else catch that? You know, I'm eating and everybody just eating and having a good old time. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? I said, these mashed potatoes are nasty. And I'm eating, but you know the Bible says, whatever they set before you, you got to eat it all, right? Some of y'all ain't saved yet. You're like, nope. I'm going to make you read that Bible, because that's where I got you right now, media. Anyway, so I'm sitting and I'm eating. I'm looking at my wife and I'm eating. And, you know, I'm like, this is so nasty. And I couldn't do it anymore. I cleared my plate, ate it all, because I, you know, I'm trying to be nice, you know. And then I'm sitting there and my stomach starts to bubble, you know. It started playing handball on the inside, you know. And I lean over my wife and I say, Baby, I got to go get some gas for the car. I'll be back. And I got in the car, and I drove down to Popeye's Chicken. And I went in, and I got me some real mashed potatoes. And I ate that Popeye's Chicken. I just sat in the car on my stomach. I got to get me some bread to settle this thing. And I came back, and then by that time, she was ready to go. I said, okay, all right, we thank y'all. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys. We got in the car, and we were driving away. I said, Chi? Did you? Oh my God. That was the nastiest, oh my goodness, nastiest mashed potatoes I ever had in my life. And she looked at me and said, baby, they weren't no mashed potatoes. I said, yes, they were. They were mashed potatoes. They were, baby, they were mashed potatoes. Baby, there were no mashed potatoes. Yes, there were. They were right on the stove. They were sitting right in the middle. What do you mean? I ate it. I ate the whole thing. Steve, I didn't see any mashed potatoes. I said, okay, fine. Let's drive back and ask. So we turn the car around. We drive back up to the house, knock on the door, and we go. And I said, hey, I got a question for you guys. Yeah, Steve, what do you need? I said, do you have any of those mashed potatoes left? And he was like, mashed potatoes? We didn't have any mashed potatoes. I looked at Chanita. Yes, you did. And I'm looking around. I said, they were in the kitchen, in the stove on a little pot. And she was like, in the kitchen? Steve, that was lard. You know when lard freezes and it gets that little sitting on the stove and right in the middle, it was melted. I ate the whole thing. Someone came to me later when I told the story. They were like, you couldn't tell that was lard? No. Because in my mind, I wanted mashed potatoes. To this day, I blame her. Because she should have gave me directions about what I was supposed to eat. So today, in order to find your purpose, I'm going to give you good directions. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, amen.
Amen.
And look at your neighbor and say, don't eat the pot on the stove. Woo! How do we get there? How? You know, Dr. Miles Monroe once said, your future is not in front of you, your future is inside of you. So we need to define what passion is. What is passion? And then I think it gives us a little clarity. Passion comes from the Greek word to suffer. Did you know that? It means to suffer. It means to have a very strong burden about a person or thing, a feeling. It's so in you, it sometimes hurts. When God gives you a passion for something, you just can't ignore it. You feel like you've got to run to it. All right. Passion is a way for God to put a burden and a passion towards something in front of you. Follow, write this down, follow the passion. Follow the passion. Well, Pastor Steve, how do I know what this passion's like? How do I define it in real terms? Well, Jeremiah had a way of saying it. I want you to go to Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And Jeremiah kind of describes this thing called passion for him. Can we read it together? Now, let me give you the backdrop. Jeremiah said, you know what? I'm tired of these knuckleheads in Israel. Yes. Right. Every time I try to tell them what God said, they don't want to hear it. So God, I'm not going to say nothing. No more. I'm done. Some of y'all did the same thing. You had friends you told over and over what was right, and they don't want to listen no more. You'd be like, you know what? I ain't going to say nothing to you no more. Anybody ever done that before? Anybody ever do that to you before? Well, Jeremiah had the same issue. Jeremiah's like, I'm tired of talking. And then this happened. Look at this verse. He says, then I said, I will not make mention of God anymore, nor speak anymore in his name. But, everybody say but. His word is in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. Look at his neighbor and say, shut up. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I was just playing. Passion was like fire burning in his shut up in his bones, meaning it could, the heat wouldn't dispel itself. It wouldn't go away. It was consuming him from the inside out. And he said, I can't get this flame off of me. I gotta tell what God said. Yes. When God gives you an internal passion, you can't help but be yourself. Come on. You can get mad and say, I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. And before you know it, you're going to say something to somebody, even though you don't want to. I ain't going to give them no more money. I'm tired of people asking me for money. Here's some money. Here's some money. Here's some money. I ain't cooking no more. I'm tired of cooking. Oh, where's that salt? Where's that pepper? Give me that stuff. Passion. Passion will not let you not do it. Passion is the internal drive that God gives us to let us know this is the way you get to your purpose. When I put passion in you, you know what you're called to do because you can't divert to the right nor the left. Your heart says, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. You know, when I decided to start this church, I said, well, you know what? I told you I was going to be a police officer, and God shut that thing down. Yeah. How many remember that story about that police officer? Yeah, exactly. Okay. Get the video. Okay. And I said, you know, I'm going to be all these other things. And God kept turning my passion to people and saying, man, I want people to know God with all their heart. I can't. That's the one thing that makes me happy. And I'm telling you, when you know what your passion is, you'll discover it's the one thing that makes you happy. You know, the Bible goes on to give us a clear definition of what's really going on when that fire gets shut up in your bones. Because look what Jeremiah says. He says, I was what? Weary from forbearing. I couldn't say. When you try to ignore what's in you, you will get weary. You want to know why so many people suffer from depression? Because they're fighting their purpose. I just said something here. I need you to hear me. So many people are fighting that internal fire. I'm not going to be like that. I want to make money. I'm not going to make a difference. I'd rather have money instead of making. And they find they get the money and they're depressed and they're not happy with life anymore. Because it was never meant to fulfill you. God's purpose was. And so they said, I am weary with fighting with God. And I'm here to tell you guys, just stop fighting with God. Start asking the hard question, what's beating in my heart? What is the one thing that when I sit still at the end of the day and the TV goes off and I'm on the couch by myself with my lard on the stove, what is God saying to me? What is the thought that won't come out of my mind? And follow what that burning passion is. Here's what the Bible calls it. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. We're going to find out how do we get there. We follow our passion. And I mean our God-given passion, not all passions, because some passions ain't, you know, ain't that holy. That God-given passion. Here's what the Apostle John said. He said this, but you have an, say it again,
passion
from
the Holy One,
and
you know all things.
This is a critical passage to understand passion. He says, number one, you have an unction. The word unction is an anointing. It means in the Greek, an anointing has come on your life. Something has enveloped you and it creates an inward push. That means that the passion doesn't come from you. God. Listen to me. It comes from God. That is why so many people in the world are struggling with life. They're trying to find who they are. They try Islam. They try Hinduism. They try dope. They try crack cocaine. They give their bodies away. They try to be violent because they're trying to find out who they are without discovering that the passion, the anointing for joy, the love that you're looking for comes from God. It is an unction, an anointing, an inward push from who? The Holy One. God Himself is putting passion in His people that you could fulfill what He called you to do. And I love what it says. It's, and you what? Know. And this gives us an insight to how passion works. When you know all things, the word there, know all things, means this. To perceive when you turn your eyes and you turn your mind and you turn your attention to anything, you're consumed by it. Whatever you do, it's in your mind, it's in your eyes, it's in your thoughts, it's passion. You're consumed by it. follow the passion. How do I get there? How do I get to where God wants me to do? Because it will drive you to it. The Bible puts it this way. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And I want you to read it nice and loud for me, please. It's on the screen. Go.
God is working in you.
Say it again.
Who's
doing it?
God.
So that means not you. It's God working in you, doing what? Wow. Passion is God working in you, giving you the what?
Desire.
Wow. Desire. Man, how many love working with kids? Raise your hand. Look at that. Look around the room. God put that in you. How many like to work with your hands? Who's in here that likes to do that? How many like to create stuff? Who's that? How many likes to stand and fight for people who are hurting? Who advocates in the house? Listen to me. God is working that in you, giving you what? That desire. Watch, it is God's plan to have the multitude of you in the room so that he can get his work done. And he puts a desire in you. And when he gives you a desire, he doesn't just make you have something in yourself that you can't let out. He gives you the power to do. Let me tell you something about passion. This is why I say follow the desire. Because if you follow your passions, God will open a door for you to do it. Because when we do things that aren't in our heart and in our passions, the door is always closed. So the way you know how to walk in the will of the Father is to follow the passion he gave in you, that he's working inside of you, and then he will give you the power, watch this, to be effective. The word there, power, literally means to be effective at what you're doing. Anybody ever watch American Idol? There are some people who have a passion to sing, but it ain't their purpose. Anybody ever heard somebody like that? Oh, they're pointing at people. No, don't do that. I remember going to a church service and the pastor felt like he could sing and he was, I'm like, Lord have mercy. Stick to your calling, baby. Stick to your calling. Now, see, this is how, when you really are walking in your passion, you are effective. If you say, God called me to be a musician, and you can't play the guitar, you might want to pick up a job. I want to give you an analogy. I want you to get in your mind. Close your eyes for a second, please. I want you to think about the car that if you had all the money in the world, you would pick to drive. When you have it, raise your hand. Let me see your hand. You got the car. How many would say a BMW? Anybody want to say a BMW? How many want to say a hoopty? Hoopty, anybody? Hoopty? Station wagon, no station wagon. Is there a station wagon around anymore? I don't even know they have those anymore. All right, you got the car in your mind? Got it? I want to make it very clear. Write this down. Purpose is like a car, and passion is like fuel. I want to break this down in just a minute. Purpose is like a car, and passion is like the fuel. What does that mean, Pastor Steve? There are people that have purposes in life. If you can imagine a car lot full of cars, and there are purposes that people are supposed to do. A purpose is that thing that looks good. And some people, they look at a car and it says it looks good and they want to get in it because it looks good. But if you don't have the passion to fuel it, you won't go anywhere. Amen. There are so many people in careers that ain't going anywhere because it looked like a great career, but they had no passion. It's a beautiful car. But unless you have the passion to make it work, you will never go anywhere. That's why it's so difficult when parents say, I want you to be a doctor to their children, and their children don't want to be a doctor. They want to be, they may want to be an English teacher, and they try to do what their parents say, but they have no passion. And the car doesn't go anywhere. And the parents disappointed, all that money wasted. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens. You cannot look at somebody else's car and try to drive it away. Amen. Come on, somebody. They're called the Joneses. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? You're looking at somebody else's career, looking at somebody else's action, their job, their school, everything they have. And you say, I want that. And you're trying to get in their car. And your life is miserable. Let me tell you what happens. Trying to live out someone else's passion is a spiritual crime. It's called spiritual hijack. You can't get in anybody else's car. You got to stay in the one that God gave you the keys to. Yeah. Amen. If you see a car, someone's career or life, and you try to emulate it, live out for someone else instead of your own passion, you're committing that spiritual crime. It's like hijacking. Let me tell you what Jesus did with one of the disciples when he was trying to do the same thing. Go to John 21, verse 19. I'm going to show you a story where this took place. John 21, verse 19. And here's what he says. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. He's talking about Jesus and Peter were talking after Jesus resurrected and told him he was going to die on a cross. And then Jesus told him, now you follow me. He said, now I want you to follow me. Verse 20. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Verse 21. And Peter asked, what about him, Lord? God says, I want you to follow me. He goes, but what about him? And you're looking at somebody else's car. Listen to what the Lord said next. Verse 22. Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. You cannot emulate anyone else's life. You were born on purpose for a purpose. And you cannot live out anyone else's purpose. You got to find out, God, I'm going to follow my passion until I fulfill what you called me to do in this life. Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you do that? How do you fulfill those ways? If purpose is a car and passion is the fuel, the only way you can get anywhere, you got to have four tires. I'm going to give you four things, four ways to invoke the presence of God. Fast, F-A-S-T. Now, what am I saying? As you become filled with God, he will fill you with passion of your next steps. And like a car needing four tires, these four things must be in place in order for you to move with your passions. They have to be. Four ways to invoke the presence of God. If it's his anointing that comes on you, that pushes you and propels you, gives you the passion, you need to know how to get that anointing in your life, how to bring that presence in your life. I'm going to talk about four ways to invoke God's presence. Why would I have to tell you that? Why? Because many of us are trying to make it happen. And I'm here to tell you, you can't make God do anything. God, why won't you tell me what I'm called to do? And God is cracking up. Yeah, you can't make me. You can't make him do anything. But there is a way to invoke his presence. You do these four things, he'll show up every time. And that anointing comes, and the purpose becomes clearer. Here's what they are. Here's what they are. Number one, will number one, is what I call will number one, fellowship. Write that down, please. Fellowship, okay? When you are in fellowship with one another, Jesus shows up. I want you to go to Matthew 18, verse 19. Fellowship, right? That wheel number one is fellowship. You must have these four things in your life at all times. Then you don't have to guess about how to get to where God calls you. Have these? You got it. Okay? Here's what happened. In verse 19, it says, I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will what? Look at verse 20 and read together. Go. When you gather with the church leadership and the followers in fellowship, he shows up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're trying to be a loner, you're going to have a hard time finding out what your purpose is. If you're used to hanging out alone, it's very difficult. You need, if you're not connected to a church, please get connected to the church. I'll let you get connected here. Hey. But you need to be in fellowship somewhere at some church with other people. That's one way, because God's presence shows up here. Amen. Number two, acts of love. First one was F for fellowship. A, acts of love. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you how this works. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And I'm going to show you a truth. Will number two is when you do acts of love, acts of kindness to other people, when you are kind, giving money, sharing advice, loving people, driving someone somewhere, teaching somebody, preaching to someone, doing something good, loving to your children, your family, your husband. When you show love, he shows up. How do I know this? Look at verse 7. Let's read together. Dear friends, let us continue. What? Uh-huh. Yes.
Anyone who loves is a child of God.
Uh-huh. All right, verse 8, read.
But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
God is love, and when you give it, you are bringing more of him into your life. God is love. Look at 12 and read together. Go.
No one has ever seen God.
Come on.
Yes.
Stop. Did you see that?
Yes.
When you love, he shows up. So you can be mad, but here's what you do. God, I'm so mad at them, but I'm going to give love so you can help me get over it. That's why Jesus says, when you're mad at your enemy, love your enemy. You can't overcome your anger by yourself. You need to show love, and then you can get over your enemy. You see that? Look at this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love, watch, is brought to full expression in us. Number three, study. Three ways, I'm telling you, four ways to invoke God's presence. Number one, fellowship. Number two, acts of love, F-A. Third one, S, studying. That's the third wheel. You got to have it. Go to John 16, 13. I'm going to read a little bit for you, okay? Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about how the Holy Spirit, when he shows up, what he's going to do in your life and how he's going to move. But I'm going to read this for you. It says this in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you of things to come. When you sit down and you begin to study the word of God, he comes up and pulls a chair next to you, and he sits down with you, and he goes, you see that verse? That means this, because I'm the Spirit of truth. I got to lead you now, and you just invoke my presence when you open up that word. That's his job, to lead you. You want God to show up? Open up your word. You want God to show up? Show some love. You want God to show up? Get in the fellowship. F-A-S. You want to go fast in your purpose? You want to go fast in your car? You want to go down that road of your destiny? Here's the last one, number four. Last one, wheel number four, talking to God. Talking to God. The last one you got to know is that you got to have a prayer life.
Amen.
When you talk to God, he comes into the room.
Amen.
You know, I went to Beverly Shores this week for career day, and they asked me to come, and I volunteered to do it because I wanted to tell them about the career of a pastor. And so I went and talked with the kids, and one of the children in one of my classes, bunch of kids in the room, and that's a great opportunity to witness. Bunch of kids in the room. And one little kid said to me, how do you pray? And I said, okay, I'm going to show you. And I got two kids, and I said, ask him his name. What's your name? John. What's your name? Steve. Okay. Where are you from? And they just went in dialogue with one another. And I turned to the class, and I said, see what they just did? I said, what did they do? They said, they talked to each other. I said, that's how you pray. All you do is talk to God. No form, no fashion, be yourself. But here's what happens when you talk to God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 6 and 6 as we get ready to close. Watch this. This is a promise from God. He is faithful. But thou, read it out loud. Yes.
And when thou hast shut thy door,
In other words, when you get by yourself and you just start talking to God, he will walk in the room, start taking notes and say, watch this. You just prayed this in private. I'm going to do it wide open in front of everybody else. So that you know I was in the room with you. You want to invoke God's presence, do, and you want to do it fast? Fellowship. Wow. Acts of love. Yeah. Study the word. Yeah. And just talk to God. Awesome. And if you do that, you got the four wheels on your tire to get to your destiny. Amen. Let's give Jesus a great hand clap of praise. I'm going to give you some next steps I want you to do this week. Next week, we're going to really jump into an incredible series called On a Mission, being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And but this is your next steps I want you to do. Number one, I want you to do this for me. Step number one, I want you to ask a friend, what are you passionate about? Get somebody in there in your mind and ask the question, what are you passionate about? Number one, okay? Do we have that for the screen, please? All right, let's put that up on the screen, please. Do we have it? Oh, it's not showing up here. Okay, praise the Lord. Ask a friend. What are you passionate about? Turn and find out so you can help them. Number two, this week, invoke God's presence. How do you do that? No. You got to do it fast. Let's try that again. Let's try it again. Beautiful. Invoke God's presence this week. And finally, I want you to do this for me. Invite someone on a mission. Go invite somebody to come next week so they can be a part of something bigger than themselves. Help me reach this world. Be a partner with me to invite one person to church next week. Amen. And let's do this together. Amen. Would you stand to your feet?